Good morning, guys. Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, my name is Divan. And yes, it's so... So I love our team. I love that we... honestly, I'm so thankful for our church that we get to be a part of and the leadership team that I get to be a part of. And our team has a value that we won't take anybody into something that we won't do ourselves. So this morning, just for context, while I'm without my boots, broke a bone in my foot. But at the end of worship, Bron came to me and she said, listen, I want you to throw off your boot. So I'm throwing off the boot. I don't know if God's going to heal it. But I want to be someone that responds. I can't lead you guys into something that if I don't do it myself. So that's why I don't have a boot. But it's been wonderful to see what God's just been doing in amongst us, even the worship and the prophetic and even the week leading up to this morning, how there's been such a confirmation on the words as we were praying this week, seeking the Lord, really getting a direction of what we wanted to share on this morning. So in some way, my life was actually made easy this morning just by all the confirmations. So so I'm sharing this morning on something that's been on my heart for a while. It's not just a topic, but it's actually a burden. It's a burden I've been carrying for us as a church. It's a burden that I see in amongst us that I want to change. And for us as a church, again, not just going from moments, but we're actually going to move into movement. So not living for powerful moments on a Sunday only, but actually living lives that mimic Jesus. So I'm going to speak into something this morning. And beautiful moments is good, but it has to be more than that. We can't just live for these moments. Our lives have to move beyond them. So, even this scripture we read this morning out of Peter, where it says, you are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. Why? As a result, so you can show others the goodness of God. There's a reason why we want to move beyond these moments and into movement, because there's others out there that need to get this picture as well, to get to experience what we have in here. So I want to start today with one of my favorite scriptures in all of the Bible. We don't have to put it up yet. But it's not the type of scripture that you, as you walk into someone's house, that it's printed on the wall. It's also not the type of scripture that people usually have on their iPhone wallpapers. And since I've been saved, I've yet to encounter this being tattooed on someone's body. So it's a bit of a... I haven't seen all of you. But I love this scripture because it cuts through all of the noise. And it speaks the truth. So, Jared, why don't we put it up? This is Jesus speaking in Matthew 10, verse 38. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. It's good, eh? Eh? We love it. You know, there's a message being shouted by the rooftops in the world today. A message of self-fulfillment. It's a message that's incredibly inviting. It's a message that says that everything in life, it's for your comfort and for your pleasure. That everything in this life is to make you feel good and make you feel better about yourself. It's this humanistic doctrine that tries to turn God into a genie that exists for us, rather than us existing for Him. We approaching God only when we need Him, only when our lives are falling apart. We've got it completely lopsided. We've become a culture that love fluffy messages. The big preachers on stage telling us how awesome you are, how wonderful you are, that this whole world, everything exists for you and your pleasure, and that you are God's blessing to the earth. We love these messages because it makes us feel good. And the scriptures that confront us, we avoid them. Why? Because they offend us. It goes against this humanistic doctrine that we hold on to, these fluffy messages that we love so much. And here's the tension we have in Milnerton this morning is, yes, we're a congregation that's warm, we are welcoming, we are a people who respond when the Spirit speaks, and we have these warm encounters with the Lord, but we've been stuck into something that I call a serial responder loop. We come here on a Sunday, we've got an amazing encounter with the Lord, we have the warm feeling inside of us, we sing the songs and say, Lord, take it all. But by Monday, the emotional high fades. And by Tuesday, we're back in the same chains again. By Wednesday, we're crawling into community, barely making it through the week, just so that we can get to another Sunday moment. We've become stuck in the serial responder loop, Sunday to Sunday to Sunday, moment for moment for moment. We call ourselves Christians. We want to be like Jesus, but we just don't want to live like he did. You know, one of my favorite authors of all time, John Mark Comer, he writes this. He says that people often want to experience the life of Jesus without embracing the daily lifestyle of Jesus. So what he's saying here is that to truly emulate or to become like Jesus, we must adopt the way of living rather than just desiring the results. So we want the fruit of Jesus' life. We want the love, joy, peace, all of these beautiful things, but we don't want to adopt his lifestyle. We want the fruit of his life, but we don't want the lifestyle. But the reality is this, it's impossible. It's impossible for us to get the fruit if we don't adopt the lifestyle. So, to break this loop, actually there's an answer. And scripture, fortunately for us, is actually quite clear on this. And there's a pattern that we can see in scripture. And I want to actually show us a few of the examples. So Paul, in writing, I'm going to highlight three letters this morning. He shows us this pattern. And I love Paul's letter because every time he gives us a way on how to live, an example, all of the time, he precedes that by the theology. So before he tells us what we should do, he actually tells us why. Every time. And I love his letters. So the first one in Galatians, we can put that up. In Galatians 2, verse 20, it says that I've been crucified with Christ. This is the why. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And then later, he shows the how in Galatians 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. In Romans, Paul says this, the why, in Romans 6:6. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. And then later he shows the how. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, just as Jesus did. Last example in Colossians, the why, Paul says in Colossians 3:3, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And then immediately after, he shows us the how. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. So Paul keeps showing us this pattern. It's like before he shows us what we should do, he actually tells us why. And Jesus being at the center of all of it. And across all of these scriptures that I showed you now, there's this principle. And it's a principle that confronts that part inside of us that want the fruit, but not the lifestyle. It's a principle that we don't like, not because it's a bad principle, just because it goes against us. It like confronts us. And it's the principle of discipline. And this is where discipline comes in. Discipline is not how we earn God's love. It's how we structure our lives to look more like Jesus. So it's not how we can earn God's love. I'm going to say that again, but it's how we structure our lives to look more like Jesus's. And believe it or not, we are formed by something on a daily basis. So the question is not, are we formed by something? We are. The question is just, what are you choosing that forms you? Is it going to be your feelings? Or is it going to be your faith? We are formed on a daily basis. We just don't realize that. But you get to choose. And in the choosing, that's discipline. So fortunately, Jesus didn't just give us a manual on how to do this. He actually gave us the model. We are Christians. We are called Christians. Why? That's little Christ. So we are to mimic him. Not just the fruit, but also the lifestyle. So we can put up the Luke 9 scripture. So just for context, they're in Galilee on their way, making it to Jerusalem. And many of their followers, of Jesus' followers, have been following. There was a crowd because here is this guy about to go into Jerusalem to go take his earthly kingdom. He is the Messiah. He's about to come rule and reign right now. A massive crowd following him on the way to Jerusalem. But Jesus, no, he was going for a very different reason. Yes, some of that's true. He was going to become the king who rules and reigns, but it's going to look different to what they thought. It was not to go establish and take over. It was to go die and take the lowly place, to deny himself. So he gives us this beautiful example for us as well. So let's read it. Luke 9, verse 23 says this. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. So there's three things I want to show from this scripture. The first thing is all. There was a massive crowd gathered. And sometimes Jesus speaks personally to a disciple, and that's personal for that person. Yes, we need to use it in that context. But here he was addressing a crowd. So it was for all of them. And it was for all of us. So even you this morning, it applies. The second thing that Jesus says, that it's take up his cross, and that's being personal. So again, it's not this general thing here. It's like, okay, he's speaking to all, but you now need to go take up your cross. And in the first century, when Jesus spoke these things, a cross was an instrument of death. That was the only thing it was really used for. And he's inviting us to pick up our crosses on a daily basis. So it's not going on TikTok to see what's the latest trending feature. It's not looking at the Seapoint Promenade to see what's the vibe there. No, he's calling us to pick up our crosses daily and follow him. And the cross, for us, it's an instrument of death. So he wants us, for our flesh, to die. Why? Because then with that, with this maturity thing that's happening now in us, our immaturity needs to die with that. That's why we're picking up our crosses. It's for immaturity to die within us. And immaturity is sometimes very subtle. It's not an obvious thing. It can be a leader asking you, hey man, how are you reading your Bible? Hey, it's praying to God only when you need stuff, when your life's falling apart. Not like praying and glorifying him because he's worthy and he gives you everything in anyways. Maybe it looks like staying offended when you know you should forgive. Maybe it looks like that sin that you just keep hiding for so long. Bring it into the light. We've moved beyond this. Maybe for you it's being moved Sunday by Sunday by Sunday. You're living for these moments, but you're not moving anywhere with your life. That is immaturity. And the cross confronts all of that in us. And the cross says, not my will be done, but yours, Lord. And God, I believe this morning, is putting his finger on each one of us. That part inside of you that refuses to change, that part of you that's still hanging on to the immaturity, he's putting his finger in that place in your life. And you know what it is. God is busy putting his finger on that thing right now. And the key for us is, this is not a one-time thing. This is not a Sunday-only thing. This is a daily thing there. Jesus says there, pick up your cross daily. Discipline means a daily picking up our crosses. The third thing I want to show you, just going back to that scripture in Luke, is that he doesn't only call us to deny ourselves. He calls us then at the end there to follow him. And Jesus says, follow me. So that's a relational bit. So remember, we are not religious. Yes, we believe in Jesus, but we're not ticking the boxes. This isn't earning our salvation. This isn't earning God's love. It's relational. But it's, and relation is all, relationship is always intentional. And the example we have there is the example of a rabbi back in the day of they were following, the apprentice was following the rabbi so much, that so closely, that he would actually pick up some of the dust from his sandals. That's how close they were following the rabbi. And Jesus says this, like, we should follow him in the same way as an apprentice should follow the rabbi. We should walk with him day by day. It's just an intentional walking with Jesus. So it's relational. But here's the crux. In following him, when Jesus says this, it means that he needs to be the highest love of our lives. He's saying to us that if there is anything in our lives that's worth to you more than him, then you've got your order wrong. If there's anything in your life that trumps Jesus, maybe you're disqualifying yourself. That's why Jesus says, and we can put the Matthew 10 scripture up again. He says, whoever does not take up my cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Jesus is saying here that if there is anything in your life that you love more than him, you've got your order wrong. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. It doesn't feel nice, eh? It cuts us. We avoid these scriptures. Why? Because it offends that bit inside of us that calls us to maturity. How long are we going to stick and be stuck in the serial responder loop? It goes against these fluffy messages we like so much. It tells us how awesome we are and how you exist only for your pleasure. You know, it's so easy to have our hearts burn with passion here on a Sunday when the worship's cooking. But it's hard going out there and being a Christian on a Tuesday morning when your boss sucks. It's hard. But that's picking up our crosses. So I want to speak to you today as a father would to a son. So please listen to me. It's time to grow up. It's time to mature. It's time for us to walk in the things that God has for us. And for a long time, to be honest, I struggled with this thing myself. I wanted the peace of God, but I was still entertaining the things in my life that were stealing the peace of God. I was there. I was stuck in the serial responder loop. I was there Sunday by Sunday. By Tuesday, I'm crying on the floor. Oh, woe to me. Life's hard. I was stuck in the loop. And maybe that's why Luke asked me to share on this today. Because people might look at my life and say, like, hey, dude, you're quite disciplined. Hey, yeah, well done. I'm grateful for that. But I want to make one thing very clear. Discipline is not my savior. Jesus is. Discipline does not make me righteous. Jesus does. But discipline helped me choose the lifestyle before my feelings chose for me. Discipline gave me the tools so that I can choose where I want to do with my life rather than just let life happen with me. I've been bottle-fed for too long. And you've been bottle-fed for too long. You want a leader to hold your hand. For what? Are you waiting for the leader to coerce you to respond on a Sunday? Are you only worshiping God when the Sunday service worship cooks? Are you worshiping Him in your lounge at home? Are you thanking Him for all the goodness in your lives? Or only waiting for your life to fall apart before you start praying to God? Come on, man. And the reality is this. My faith as an elder can only bring you to a Sunday. I can make you respond here, and you can have an incredible time with God, but it's your faith that will have to carry you on Monday. It's your faith that will have to carry you on Tuesday. It's your faith that will have to carry you on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. It's your faith that will have to make you deal with an ordinary life when it sucks. I can't do that for you. You have to mature and take a hold of the things that God has for you, put up the daily disciplines, and actually walk this life out as a mature Christian. I can't do that for you. I do want to make one thing clear, though, is discipline is not about harsh self-punishment. That's not what I'm saying. Discipline is about clearing away the distractions for intentional living. Discipline is not about self-punishment. It's not about that. It's about clearing the distractions to make way for intentional living. By choosing what we give up, we gain the freedom to actually focus on what matters. That's discipline, focusing on what truly matters. And what is this thing? What matters most? Why am I saying all of this? What is the reason? Well, we were made to become more like Jesus. That's the goal of our lives, not to be serial responders on a Sunday, but to be formed to His image, to carry His heart, to carry His ways, to become mature sons and daughters that can be used for Him out there. The fields are wide for harvest. There are people who need the love of Jesus. There are people out there who need mature believers in here. It's not about your feelings, man. It's not about your preference. It's not, I don't care if I'm offending you. It's about you becoming the person that God can use out there. It's about denying yourself, picking up your cross, and following Jesus. That's our call. If we want to grow wider as a church, which is something that's been spoken over us, if we want to grow wider as a church, we need to grow deeper as individuals. We can't move away from that. I'm sorry. The harvest is too important for us to be stuck in the serial responder loop. There's people who need to see Jesus. Can I get someone on the keys? Thanks, Noah. Or Lisa, it's fine. In a moment, I'm going to come in for a land, but I actually want to get quite practical with us this morning on these daily disciplines. You say that you love Jesus, but without daily disciplines, your feelings will lead you every day of the week. So I want to be very practical with us this morning and just give us three things for us to focus on. Give you some tools in your tool belt as soon as you leave the door. First thing is the Word. That should go without saying. That's where we start. That's where we should start our days. I feel like a record being stuck, but this is enemy number one, my phone. These are the things distracting us these days. We cannot tell ourselves that we are intentional about maturing as believers if this thing rules and reigns in our homes. You know what I do? I put my phone to bed maybe an hour before I go to bed. Why? It I rule this thing. It doesn't rule me. Why am I doing that? I'm doing that so that I'm not overstimulated and I can't sleep, so that I can wake up fresh and spend time with the Lord. It's easy. But we make it hard for ourselves. The Word is important. We need to spend time in it. Do what you need to take away the distractions. Be intentional about this thing. We need a great example, Carmel. She doesn't know I'm going to do this, but so we walk with a bunch of people, and I was so touched by her character and the way that she dealt with something in the last while, where Louise just said, "Hey, I think there's maybe this thing in your heart, not a sin or anything bad, that God just wants to tweak. You're not seeing it rightly." What did she do? She went, she got a Bible. She went into that thing. She went and sought this thing in the Scriptures. What does the Bible say? I'm going to change the way I see the things, but by the Word says, I'm going to be intentional about this thing. My feelings are not going to rule. My faith is going to rule in this situation. She got a brilliant revelation. Now she's changed. She went into the Word. The secret place. Are we praying? Are we walking with Jesus on a daily basis? Or are we only going to Him when our wheels are coming off? Are we worshiping Him when no one sees? Are we praying to Him, talking to Him? Abo and Minaka, another great example. On Wednesday, we were moved by them, the song that Abo brought, the word that Minaka brought. And I know as a couple, they invest in the private place. They go there daily. They're in there. They're communing with the Lord. And we are benefited in a public place because of what they're doing in a private place. Don't forsake that. Read your word. The secret place is important. The third thing is the church. We are a priesthood of believers. Community, church. It's a non-negotiable. Why are we still having this conversation? Why are we making lame excuses for why we can't go to Common on Wednesday? Had a bad day? Sorry, man. Go. But don't just show up. Contribute. Are we a people who come to be fed, or are we going to bless? If you are honest with yourself, did you come here this morning to receive, or maybe to go bless someone? Take a prophetic word to someone. Hey man, I've been praying for you. I feel like God's saying this to you. Are we coming here to just being fed like babies, or are we coming here to serve God like He's actually saying we should? Stick up your hand. There's ministries here. If we want to grow wider as a church, we need to grow deeper as disciples. We were made to become like Jesus. That's the goal of our lives. Not just to respond to Him in a moment, but to be formed into His image. To be moved forward week by week, rather than just living for these moments. We are made to carry His heart, to walk in His ways, to become mature sons and daughters who can be used for His glory. The fields are white for harvest. There are people out there who need mature believers in here. And that's us. That's you. And that's me.